वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टुकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 89, Text Number 19, Chapter entitled Krishna and Arjun Retrieve a Brahmana's Sons. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itham Sarasvata Vipra Nrinam Samshaya Nuttaye Purushasya Padambhoja Sevaya Tadgatim Gataha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itham Sarasvata Vipra Nrinam Samshaya Nuttaye Purushasya Padambhoja Sevaya Tadgatim Gataha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itam Sarasvata Vipra Nidam Samsayanuttaye Purushasya Padambhoja Sevaya Tadgatim Gataha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itham Sarasvata Vipra Nidam Samsaya Unuttaye Purushasya Padambhoja Sevaya Tadgatim Gataha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Nam Samsaya Nuttaye Tadgatim Gataha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itam Sarasvata Vipra Nidam Samshaya Nuttaye Purushasya Padambhoja Sevaya Tadgatim Gataha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itam Sarasvata Vipra Nidam Samsaya Nuttaye Purushasya Padambhoja Sevaya Tadgatim Gataha. Itam Sarasvata Vipra Nidam Samsaya Nuttaye Purushasya Padambhoja Matajis. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itam Sarasvata Vipra Nidam Samsaya Nuttaye Purushasya Padambhoja Sevaya Tadgatim Gataha. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shukdev Goswami said, Itham, in this way, Sarasvataha, living along the Saraswati river, Vipraha, the learned Brahmanas, nṛṇām of people in general, samśaya the doubts, nuttaye to dispel, puruṣasya of the supreme person, padāmbhoja of the lotus feet, sevaya by service, tat his gatim destination, gataha attained. Translation by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śukadeva Goswami said, the learned brahmanas living along the river Saraswati came to this conclusion in order to dispel the doubts of all people. Thereafter they rendered devotional service to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet and attained his abode. Since there is no purport, we'll take the next verse. Shri Suta Uvacha Iti Etan Muni Tanayasya Padam Padma Ganda Piyusham Bhava Bhavya Bhita Parasya Pumsa Shushlokam Shravana Putai Pibati Abhikshanam Pantho Advana Brahmana Parishramam Jahati. Translation and purport. Sri Suta Goswami said, thus did this fragrant nectar flow from the lotus mouth of Shukadeva Goswami, the son of the sage Vyasadeva. This wonderful glorification of the Supreme Person destroys all fear of material existence. A traveler who constantly drinks this nectar through his ear holes will forget the fatigue brought on by the wandering along the paths of worldly life. Purport. This narration by Srila Sukadeva Goswami is precious in two ways. For those suffering from spiritual infirmity, it is an effective tonic to cure the disease of illusion. And for surrendered Vaishnavas, it is a delicious and invigorating beverage, fragrant with the aroma of Sri Shuka's realizations. Om Kyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyaschakriba Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse number 19 is the prelude to the discussion of the conclusion of the previous chapter. And the story of how Bhrigu Muni goes and tests Lord Vishnu, all of them. And the previous verse explains very nicely as to how Lord expands into various features as Rakshasas, Asuras and the Devas. And ultimately all of them will remain in this universe, this creation. We cannot do away with any of them because this is the ordained will of the Lord. But we have to choose. And that choice is what is being concluded. After the whole Bhagavad Gita is rendered to Arjun, Krishna is leaving Arjun to recollect, reconcile, and then accept. It is not a stereotype presentation as if it was destined that Arjun will follow Krishna's order. Or Krishna's conclusion. He accepted Krishna's conclusion as his own conviction. He did not accept someone's conclusion as the dictate for his life. He accepted Krishna's message wholeheartedly with conviction and assimilated in his own life as his own. And therefore Bhagavad Gita is that treatise, that samvad, which helps us to assimilate into conviction, into personal conviction. And therefore the sages here also, after hearing the various narrations of Srila Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj in the assembly of Naimisharanya, they also are developing their own convictions. They are assimilating these treatises into their own life as per their conviction. And here it is explained that all of them came to conclusion. Why did they come to conclusion? Not just because they wanted conviction, they wanted to actually spread. They wanted to have contribution. So conclusion, conviction and contribution are in sequence. Once we conclude, then we are convinced, and when we are convinced, we contribute. So none of these three are separated from each other. Therefore Prabhupada, when he mentioned to all of his newly initiated sannyasis that if every one of you would be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we could actually make the whole world Krishna conscious in 10 days or 18 days. Why? Because Prabhupada said, I am convinced. But everybody has to make that conviction their own. We cannot take Prabhupada's conviction for our conviction. We have to assimilate his life and we have to make his conviction in our own life in a way that we can come to the same conclusion what his conviction came to. So in order to contribute, one has to be thoroughly convinced. And therefore here Shukadeva Goswami's conclusion about the previous, and is mentioning that how the Lord expands into three kinds of manifest beings. And thereafter the next verse is explaining that Suta Goswami is now making that narrative relevant to the sages here, and he's saying that thus the nectar flow started to flow from Shukadeva Goswami's mouth, and then the first effect was that people became fearless. Parikshit Maharaj is hearing this narrative, and it's not Shukadeva Goswami's trying to tell Parikshit Maharaj that you become fearless about the death. Never was a counseling given to Parikshit Maharaj that you are going to die. Prepare for your death. It was concluded that one who follows this process of devotional service, one who follows the path of dharma, consequentially becomes fearless. And what else? One actually drinks the nectar and becomes free from fatigue. So, freedom from fear and freedom from fatigue are the two aspects of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and other such glorious pastimes of the Lord. And here it is said, a traveler who constantly drinks his nectar through these ear holes will forget the fatigue brought on by the wandering along the paths of worldly life. So, as we are concluding about conclusion, conviction and contribution, imagine how Prabhupada was talking in one of the morning walks, and he was saying that, oh, this beautiful mansion, what do you think about this? It's so nice. So they said, Prabhupada, we should have this for Krishna. Then disciples walk ahead and then saw a beautiful car. Prabhupada said, what about this beautiful car? Prabhupada said. And disciples said, yes Prabhupada, we should have this for Krishna. Then say a huge dog. And then Prabhupada said, what about this dog? Prabhupada, we should have this for Krishna. Prabhupada, this is nonsense. What does dog have in connection with Krishna? Why do you want a dog for Krishna? So they were thinking that yes, Jai Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada says, yes. But they failed to see the connection. They failed to see the logic. And therefore, when one becomes convinced, one is constantly aware of the intelligence. The aspect of intelligence. The aspect of understanding. So, therefore, we also see in the lives of Pandavas, also who were constantly traveling on the path of difficult life. The whole essence of Mahabharata lies in their travels, in the sojourns, in the exile. As like Ramayana. Once Markandeya Rishi came, and as the Pandavas and Draupadi were all mortified, remembering their insults, everything being cheated in a short span of time, it was shocking to them, and the condition that they were put in. So, Markandeya Rishi came and he seemed very pleased with the Pandavas. He was very happy. He was having a smiling countenance. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking that you seem to be happy with our state of suffering. He said, no. Seeing you, I am remembering Lord Ram's exile in the Dandakaranya forest. Your situation seems resembling very close to Lord Ram. And therefore I am seeing that just as Lord Ram's exile resulted in a fruitful battle with Ravan and then returning to Ayodhya, your life also will conclude in getting the kingdom back from Duryodhan, and this is the preparation for that war. So you should accept these difficulties as your assets. And therefore, we find that immediately before they were cheated, they were attempted to be killed in the Varnavrat palace. So as they escaped with the help of Vidur, they came out and they were resting in a forest, and then they found that in the night they were being guarded by Bhim and this huge demon Hidamba sent Hidambi to lure the Pandavas to him to have his feast. But Hidambi became enamored by the handsome beauty of Bhim, and instead of having them as feast, she started to feast on Bhim. And then she said, she was so bashful, and then at the same time when all of them were awakened, in fact Kunti and all the Pandavas, they waited while Bhim went to kill Hidamba, and after killing him, Hidimbi expressed her desire. And Kunti is always there to analyze the whole situation. What is happening out here? We in the forest, we just left out of an attempt to being killed, and here a demon and another sister of this demon wants to marry Bhim. And Yudhishthira is the eldest. What marriage proposals are coming, you know, in the middle of the forest? So, how to deal with this? Thereafter, Yudhishthira and Kunti agrees. They agree and they say that it is fine, and Bhim can roam along with Hidimbi in the morning, but in the night they have to come back. At least Bhim has to come back because we have to be guarded. And this pact was made that as soon as both of them bear a child, then we'll move on. So Ghatotkacha was born, and the Rakshasas, when they give the birth on the same day, and the child becomes also big on the same day. Rakshasas are also like Devas. No? There also there is no upbringing of a child, and here the whole problem lies in the human society called parenting. Imagine, all parenting lessons gone. Child has become big, ready. There is only seed and there is only fruit. There is no stages of growth, metamorphosis, nothing. So Ghatotkacha was born, and Ghatotkacha had a big, huge head and a red eyes and coppery eyes and very gnashing teeth, very piercing ears. And Bhim named him as Ghata Uchkach. Then that means the head which is just bald head, which is very prominent. Utkach, Ghata Utkach. And then all of these things happened and they were wondering what's happening. And then it was the plan of Indra to have Ghatochkach being born to. And he said, because you are born as a son of Pandavas, as our children, as our son, you are the foremost, you are the eldest son. Ghatochkach is the eldest son of the Pandavas. Right? So please help in our mission. And they sought his help right at the birth only. And both of them said, "We'll as soon as you call, we'll just come." So Ghatochkach was not just called at the time of the war. In fact, when they were in exile, ascending to the Gandhamadan mountains, going to the other the regions of the Devas, as they were ascending, they needed some help. So I'm just connecting Ghatochkach's contribution. So Ghatochkach was very important in the Pandavas' mission. Why? Because Indra specifically sent Hidimbi in a way that Ghatochkach will be born, who will be an antidote for Karna. Because that was the main fear of Yudhishthir. Who will handle Karna? Even Arjun can't handle. Arjun has to go to the heavenly planets to get Devi Astras, just to counteract Karna. But that wasn't enough. So, in fact, a very nice travel, the sojourn that they went through, in the later sojourn that when Ghatochkach was called, and then before that, the Brahmanas were accompanying Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Yudhishthir Maharaj gave a very relevant and a very nice piece of advice to the accompanying Brahmanas. They were accompanying him to the forest because Lomasa Rishi was sent by Indra to accompany the Pandavas and pacify Yudhishthir because he was having too much doubts. And he was quite depressed. And that's exactly the situation that's happening in the Bhagavad Gita, the beginning of the chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjun has a doubt. We see that there was the complicity of the Dronacharya, there was the neutrality of Bhishma, there was the duplicity and brutality of Duryodhan, vis-a-vis Arjun's humility. And he had a doubt. That should I kill or not? I was just explaining to one group of students that it's a question of now and then. Arjun was very much enamored by the now that he would not be able to understand the then. And therefore he was much confused because of his role of between now and then, and he could not make a choice. And therefore, when he is very sensitive to now, he is not being sensible to the then. He is being sensitive to the relationships, but is not sensible to the responsibility that he has in hold for him for the future. So Krishna is saying, you are having shoka buddhi. This shoka buddhi is because of not able to balance between the sensitivity and sensibility. Along with being sensitive, one has to be sensible also. And therefore, sensitivity is now and sensibility is then. Therefore, Krishna reconciles both sensitivity and sensibility. One cannot just be just sensitive. One has to be sensible. So Krishna explains him the Sankhya Yoga, Sita Pragya. If you very carefully analyze this, the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, they are alternating between action and knowledge. If second chapter is knowledge, then third chapter is action. If again the fourth chapter is knowledge, the fifth chapter is action. And sixth chapter is again meditation. So Arjuna is constantly alternating. Should I do this? Should I do that? So basically the philosophy becomes the foundation, the action becomes a consequence. But later, in action and philosophy, the non-doer aspect becomes the reconciliation. You have to fight and yet you have to be detached. So the reconciliation is a non-doer aspect and then comes the surrender. So first is philosophy, Then comes action. Then comes the non-doer detached aspect. And then comes the surrender. But imagine, Krishna is saying, action is must to even digest the philosophy. And therefore here, we find the Pandavas' lives are constantly having these changes. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is telling the accompanying Brahmanas that these three classes of Brahmanas should not join him for the trip, for the ascending trip, which is going to the regions of the Gandhamadan mountains, where the heavenly demigods reside. So those who cannot control their hunger, and those who are accustomed to eating nice foodstuffs, they should not join the trip, because then there is nothing to eat there. So I will not be able to satisfy you, so you please don't join this trip. Second, those who cannot take on the austerities of the travel. And thirdly, those who are pretending to be Brahmanas till now. We should not expect that, you know, the retinue of Yudhishthira Maharaj was like very clean those times. Because when Bhim meets Hanuman in the Gandhamadan mountains thereafter, so then Hanuman explains that actually I cannot express my form to you in this age. Why? Because the time has changed. The time has changed, therefore the roles have changed. Therefore the expressions have changed. In Satyug, people didn't have to do anything. Everything was just provided without even attempting to even work. In Treta Yuga, it was becoming 25%. There had to be yajna to obtain the necessities. In Dwapar Yuga, there was 50-50. There was evil 50, there was good 50. So there was a conflict. And Kalyug, there is only degradation, that even if you try and do so many things, you will be so much unsuccessful, because the force and the current of time and tide are constantly against. So therefore, he is explaining that context to Bhim. And then, thereafter, this whole episode of Hidimba and Hidimbi, and when it goes forward, and this where Bhimsen has shown his prowess. There was something which was in store for them. We are discussing all of these things because this is the story of Arjun and Krishna going to save Brahmana's son. And the life of Pandavas also are constantly saving the Brahmanas. Serving the Brahmanas. Their whole exile. They were constantly accosted with Narada, Vyasadeva, Lomasa Rishi, Markandeya Rishi, Brihatsava. All of them came to constantly inspire them on their journey. Journey requires constant effort and constant inspiration. And therefore, this journey led them to a village called Ekachakra, where they were living in a Brahman's house. And they were nicely begging, living their life. They literally forgot their struggles. They forgot their past. They were so much, they were begging, but every day they were having swadhyaya of the Vedas at the Brahmana's house. They were studying Vedas, the Kshatriyas, very nicely. And thereafter they heard the wailing of in the Brahmana's house. So Bhim asked, because all of them except the Pandavas, all of them except Bhim and Kunti were in the house, the rest had gone for begging. So where they came to this, in fact, before this, a point to be noted, Vyasadeva came to before they reached Ekchakra, and he had told them that please be patient, everything will become sorted, but as you proceed to the next place, please act according to the desh and kal, the place where you are going. Be aware of the context that you are reaching into. And here is some fantastic point, I was just meditating, that how the evolution of dharma and the evolution of devotion has taken place. Evolution of major aspects of awakening, spirituality, awakening, the sense of duty, has taken place only in turbulent times. Like when the Brahmanas were constantly doing this sacrifice and killing the animals on the pretext of the yajna, it was Buddha who came and he completely disrupted that path of the Vedas. So very a very strong sense of disruption came, and Buddha contradicted the path of the Vedas only. Vishnu comes and acts against the purpose of the Vedas, not the purpose of the Vedas itself. Why? Because the system which was there to propagate the knowledge had become corrupted, not the Vedas. The Vedas were pure, but the application of the Vedas had become corrupted. Like you find in some software, you find the application, some part of the program being corrupted. So you have to treat that part of the program and you have to have a solution for that. It's not that the software is erroneous. It is a virus which has crept in, which is creating the error. The software is not wrong. The error has created that difficulty. So Buddha comes and rejects the path of the Vedas, but not the essence of it. The essence is of its compassion. So a temporary disruption took place, so that a stage was set for Shankaracharya to come and to bring in voidism, or to replace voidism with oneness. Again another disruption. To solve this disruption. Why? Because the society was going to the metamorphosis of that Deshkal. So therefore, according to that context, these incarnations and these avatars and Shaktavish avatars come, and later on Madhvacharya comes and advocates against oneness. So one was contradicting each other constantly. Each Acharya was contradicting the previous Acharya. And then comes Ramanacharya, and then Madhvacharya, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does? He does disrupt, but he actually reconciles everybody. He reconciles the path of Ramanacharya. He reconciles the path of Madhvacharya. He actually nicely reconciles with the Mayavadis. If you see Mahaprabhu's life as only reconciling and disrupting the response of the society to such reconciliation. Namacharya Haridas Thakur is a mlecha from a low caste. All of these devotees in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were from all stages and all backgrounds. And those times there was this degradation in the Brahminical system. Gopal Chapal, and you will see the other Gopal Chakravarti, all of them. So Mahaprabhu actually took sannyas. He was a Brahman himself, he was a scholar himself. He took sannyas as again a disruption from the social order. 24 years sannyas, unheard of in those times. A 24 year old sannyas is a great disruption in the society, is a great, but he has taken that so that the society will become, the society will accept the reconciliation. So Mahaprabhu came and he established himself in Jagannath Puri by leaving his disciples to Vrindavan, by sending his one lot to Bengal to preach, and he himself travelled all over the place. The life of Acharyas and life of these great souls means travelling and reconciling. Pandavas going through the same experience. They had to go through that experience themselves. And therefore we find that this instruction by Srila Vyasadev to reconcile according to the desh and kal is very significant, and that's what Kunti does hear that instruction, and she has to assimilate and have to adapt and then accept it. So when they go to the Brahman's house, they find that there is some sorrow here, and we are actually being the guest, such a nice host there is serving us so nicely, we should help them. So Bhim says, you better go and ask and find out what's happening out there. So Kunti goes and finds that there's a discussion between the Brahman, the wife, and Brahman is telling that you wanted to be in this village for long because your father, your uncles, everybody stayed here, but I told you that we should leave this village. Why? Because this Bakasur is going to have our family to contribute for his feast, wherein one member of the family, a cartload of grains and two bulls have to be offered to him. So, but you are such a nice reconciliation is taking place in the family, that the husband is later glorifying the wife that you have really supported me, you have been really so wonderful companion, you have never complained, And then the girl says that anyways I have to go to the husband's house, I am going to be separated from the family, rather let me separate right away only. The son is saying, I'll go and kill the demon with a blade of kusha grass. Let me go. So this kind of discussion happening in the family. Now Kunti is also thinking, now what should I contribute here with my conviction? So she says that, don't worry, she takes a decision. And what an intelligent decision Kunti has taken. She is saying, my son will go on behalf of all of you. And then the Brahman said, why do you want to sacrifice your son for our family? You are our Brahman guest. You are supposed to, we are supposed to host you. We can never engage in such a sin. Kunti says, never mind. I am not going to offer my son. I know my son is such a strong and such gifted with mantras. And he is so capable that he is capable of killing this demon and coming back alive. But do not ever tell anybody, because my son is mantra siddha. So she is making a nice story. And she is telling that if anyone comes to know, then they will all come to him to get this mantra siddhi. And his guru has told that, you know, you cannot give this mantra siddhi without having an appropriate, he should keep this mantra to himself. Therefore do not even reveal to anybody. And Kunti has taken decision even without consulting any of her sons. Any of them. She goes to Bhim and Bhim is always ready. He said, what do I have to do? I have to go and kill? Tell me. I'll do that. So Bhim has been ready and they already agreed. Okay, so I'm going tomorrow. And till then the Yudhishthir, Nakul, Sahadev and Arjun come. And they say, already there is something. So Bhim is ready for something again, another exploit. What is the exploit? He said, this and Kunti has already given me permission. I'm going tomorrow. Yudhishthir has become again worried. He said, Bhim is going for this small mission. Who will kill Duryodhan if something happens to Bhim? He is supposed to plan for our exploit. We are all preparing. But if he goes for this small mission, then we will lose Bhim. Kunti says, I have not acted out of greed, neither illusion, neither absence of logic. I have taken all this into account. I have taken a decision, a firm decision, which intelligence rooted in dharma. And this is what I have come to conclusion, that I have seen Bhim killing Hidamba. I have seen Bhim how he is capable, and definitely he will take this mission and complete it. And therefore, if we don't do this, a disrepute will come to us, because we being Kshatriyas, we could not do to help them. So Kunti is not at all worried that what will happen to Bhim, and what will happen to Bhim so that what will happen to our future. But all the time Pandavas, they were rooted in the now with the understanding of the then. If I would do this now with the whole idea of the creation rooted in my duty, the then will become successful. I don't have to make the then successful with worrying about the now. I have to do my now so dutifully that then becomes a consequentially a success. The Pandavas consequently did the same thing again and again and again. And therefore, we find even in Lord Ram's travels, he extended friendship to Sugriv. He helped him, not expecting that such and such help will come, though there was an effort. But imagine, the undertaking of one's duty in the now becomes a part of the then. This dharma buddhi is very important. Kunti is showing this very nice feature. So therefore, this and therefore we all again will find the same thing happening in the Brahmana's life here, in when they come to Krishna and Arjun to help them. So in one sense, we always find Krishna and Arjun together in the exploit. A very, very, very nice, significant. I was just thinking that Arjuna is a soldier and Krishna is a saint. He represents wisdom. Arjuna represents strength, courage. So, Krishna has the wisdom of a saint, but empathy for the soldier also. And Arjuna has the courage of a soldier, but has the humility to hear from a saint. And both of them are not miles apart. They are together on one chariot and most of the time together all the times. Therefore, one cannot separate a soldier from a saint or a saint from a soldier. And therefore, this Brahman, when he hears this, he says, before they come to conclusion, he says that it is very important, now I realize that, to ensure security, one has to live under the protection of a good king, a nice noble king. And you cannot acquire wealth, you cannot acquire a wife, you cannot expand your prosperity unless you have that assured protection. That means the devotion can be protected only when there is enough. The devotion can survive when there is enough protection. We had just been on a yatra to Nathdwara, and previous times we have always been to places of Srinathji and the beautiful deities of Dwarkadish and a Goshala nearby. But this time we had an excursion to the fort of Chittor, and a very glorious history is out there, and a glorious history has a glorious personality also. And then we were just recounting or reconciling why were these forts all across the place. Trying to understanding the whole sequence of how the deities were attacked then at Vrindavan. The news of which came to Maharaja Jai Singh, who was under the patronage of Aurangzeb. He used his good office to take that threat, cognizance of the threat, and help move the deities to Jaipur under his protection. And then later on, the deities of the Gopalji come to the place of Nathdwara now. Then that king Raj Singh of that place had that nice. So these forts were there all the time. This protection was there all the time, and the deities were surrounded by these forts. And therefore, even now, if you see, they are so much well established, protected. And Krishna as if leaves Vrindavan to go in the shelter of Jaipur, Rajasthan, where there are kings who are there to protect devotion. So, the forts are also temples. Had these forts not been there, they would have to go from there to some other place where there would be forts. So today we find only few deities remaining in Vrindavan. The original deities of Gopinath ji, Govind ji, Madan Mohan ji, and Radha Vinod, Radha Madhav are still in Jaipur, and Gopal ji is in Nathdwara. And therefore these forts are as worshipable as temples, and these great Kshatriyas are as worshipable as sannyasis. We are worshipping Parikshit Maharaj, we are worshipping the Pandavas, we are worshipping Shukdev Goswami on the same level. And therefore, Krishna is also instigating Arjuna to fight, so that ultimately the fort of this protection will establish dharma and keep it secure for generations later. So therefore, a very nice aspect of bhakti can be seen everywhere. Even in the rock of that fort, one can see the devotion. If one can appreciate the whole saga of establishing dharma. Therefore these places are there where we see the flourishing of devotion. Why? Because there is good protection. So that's what Brahman is telling. Unless you have this protection, don't try to expand. Because whatever you will expand will be demolished by the agents of adharma. One mistake was done with the Pandavas. They built up Indraprastha so nicely. Ultimately it will be snatched away by the Kauravas. The more beautiful you make your edifice of dharma, the more you attract the agents of adharma to attack them. But without having a fort or without having a protective plan, this will not remain for long. And therefore, next time when they had an exile, they said, this time we want to build dharma prastha, not Indraprastha, but with proper protection by the elimination of this Kauravas once forever. Krishna, no matter what, had his wisdom of karma yoga, dhyana yoga, ashtang yoga, bhakti yoga integrated with this aspect, which became a wholesome understanding. And therefore this Krishna consciousness is not an isolated perspective. It is all encompassing, it is all pervasive, and it is all time to come for the future generations. It is not for the now. It is for now and it's for the then. So this is a very nice understanding of, and we find that Arjuna also is another incident when they are actually the sacrificial sticks of Brahman are being stolen by the deer, and he goes and takes the weapons from the chest of Yudhishthira Maharaj's chamber when he is with Draupadi, risking his own exile. Imagine, Arjuna has exile within an exile. Not worrying what is going to happen, but doing the right thing at the now. So the then is secured. And that's how Arjuna goes, and he goes and meets Chitrangada, and he gets Babruvahan as the son of the king. And then it goes Ulupi, Iravan comes. So all of this come to the war. Arjuna is going all over the place because he's done the right thing now, and then becomes secure because all that he has done now, the right now, becomes the asset for the then. And therefore that's exactly how bhakti is all about. It's about now being right and then being victorious. And therefore all that has to be done now, has to be done now, in the way it has to be done. And that's how Arjun is again showing his now, that I have to protect the Brahman. The whole narration will come here. So this is a beautiful narrative. I thought of sharing this in the backdrop of the coming pastime. So if anybody has any questions or comments or suggestions, I'd like to invite them. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam. Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai.